Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the podcast to be named later here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. He is Jared Kluger. I am Alex Jones. Jared, how's it going, man?
It's not too bad today, Alex. How about the show? We're getting ready for the Hall of Fame coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time left. I got the dates mixed up whenever I said, let's do this as our big Hall of Fame episode, but then I looked it up afterwards, and it's not the 21st the vote is revealed. It is the 25th. So we could have potentially done this next week, but I'm, you know, trying to get something special for next week. So this is the Hall of Fame episode. And just to preface everything going into it, Jared and me do not have a Hall of Fame vote. We just don't.
No,
I am entering year three of service time here with the BBWAA. So as soon as I could potentially vote would be 2030. So I've got a long ways to go for this. Dejan Kovacevic has his vote. You could read his ballot. He's also done a couple podcasts on that here on the network. So if you're interested on someone who actually does have a Hall of Fame vote, what they have to say, go to them. But as a future voter myself, and just as a fan of the game of baseball, I feel like this is a good discussion because this is such a polarizing ballot. And I know we've touched on this about a month or so ago about how, you know, polarizing this ballot is going to be. But one area in particular comes down to steroids and PEDs. And this is a very, this is the doomsday year for it because it's the last year of Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. It's the first year of David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez. It's the last year of Sammy Sosa. This is such a monumental, there's such a line here. So Jerry, before I get rambling on here, let's throw the ball over to you first. Where do you stand on it? Should steroid users be automatically disbarred from the Hall of Fame?
No, because it wasn't technically illegal when they did it. But I mean, it doesn't, to me, hitting a baseball is not improved by taking steroids. If that was the case, I probably would have started taking steroids when I was 10. But I've never been able to hit a baseball. So it's just one of those situations. But I don't think that they should be disqualified. If you're going to do that, and anybody that's ever taken an illegal drug or substance, whether it was performance enhancing or not, then they should be disqualified too. And I think that takes out a lot of guys from the 70s and 80s. And, you know, it's just a slippery slope because at the end of the day, steroids saved baseball because of the power surge that we saw in 98 in the early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, we can't pretend that, you know, this wasn't something that Major League Baseball at least willingly looked the other way towards for years.
Major League Baseball will 100% look the other way.
Yes. And Bud Selig, the man who was mostly looking away, who at least the top guy in charge, is in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to make the equivalencies there. It's just something worth pointing out. For me personally, it's not an automatic disqualifier, and there are different ways to look at it. Like DK has David Ortiz on there. Well, David Ortiz technically did fail a test in the Mitchell report in 2003. Before it was monitored, but we don't really know exactly what he failed. And there's a lot of fuzziness in there. Was it actually a steroid? There's a whole lot of gray area with it. So that's why, you know, David Ortiz is on his belt, but then he cites the character clause for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, which I'm not going to get into. But if I had a vote, I would put both of them on there. And I know people that say, well, it was, they never failed a test. Okay, that's one parameter. We've also seen people who include Bonds and Clemens, but not Alex Rodriguez, because Alex Rodriguez was caught up in Biogenesis. He was the face of that scandal right there. I don't know if he formally failed a test in there, but it was such a clear cut. He did it. There's no other way around it. I don't know. If I had a vote, I'd vote for Alex Rodriguez too. I am of the opinion that the Hall of Fame should go to people that, can you tell the story of baseball without this person? And I don't think you can tell the story without Barry Bonds. You can't tell the story without Alex Rodriguez. You can't tell without a lot of these people. My point being, circling back here before I let you back into this, Jared, is the David Ortiz scandal is very similar to Sammy Sosa, who Sammy Sosa was basically in the same boat as David Ortiz, and he hasn't been given the time of day for any Hall of Fame vote. And he's basically in the exact same boat as David Ortiz. Now, have our morals changed or is the BBWAA's morals? I shouldn't say our morals, you know, as baseball fans, but has the BBWAA's morals changed that they will include a David Ortiz rather than a Sammy Sosa? I think if one's a Hall of Famer, the other one at least deserves some strong consideration. In that case, is that fair to make that comparison? Because they're two very similar players at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think so too. And I agree with you on that. I mean, Sammy Sosa, again, 1998 saved baseball coming out of the strike. In 1994, and baseball was dying. In 1998, you had McGuire, Sosa, and Griffey that saved baseball. Now, obviously, Griffey, you know, tailed off towards the end of that season. But Sosa and McGuire were there, and they were so much fun to watch, man. They were so much fun to watch. I was 8 years old, and it really opened my eyes to baseball. I started falling in love with the game in 1996, and then 1998 happened, and voila. I mean, you mentioned it. You can't have baseball without telling the story of Barry Bonds. You can't have him. You can have two different careers, honestly, for Barry Bonds. Pirates Barry Bonds and Giants Barry Bonds, because I think they're two different players, both in a good and a bad way. I mean, I've never seen somebody play the game like Barry Bonds had, and to have him not in the Hall of Fame, I think is criminal. He's the best power hitter of all time, and I've never seen anybody with his plate discipline ever. And
no,
you know, that matters too. It all matters. When you look at the grand scheme of the Hall of Fame, this is a sport where the best hitter of all time, the hit king, and the home run king might never be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, the hit king, Pete Rose, accepted those terms.
Right.
So I have absolutely no pity for Pete Rose. He took a plea bargain. And, you know, that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. I will also say that once Pete Rose passes, I would be in favor of putting him in the Hall of Fame, just because, again, for the same thing, you can't tell the story of baseball without Pete Rose. Not whenever he's alive. He forfeited that away by taking the plea bargain. But in the whenever we look back in history, you have to include Pete Rose in there. And maybe, you know, a Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, may as well throw Curt Schilling in there for a very different reason. Curt even asked to not be included on this year's ballot, and he has basically no chance of getting in the Hall of Fame. Maybe they get in through a veterans committee. I'm not exactly confident that they'll get in through a veterans committee, because even if, whenever we look at this past year of the people who finally did get in, it wasn't Dick Allen should be a Hall of Famer by stats, and he's not still. It's kind of ridiculous. It's not always whenever you go through veterans committee if you are exactly, you know, the best player. So I don't know. There's a very real chance. Basically, the only guy who has a chance this year is David Ortiz. Like, the next most likely would probably be Barry Bonds. And if we're being very optimistic about his chances, it would be about like 1%. This is looking like an Ortiz or bust as far as like the BBWAA vote compared to go along with that large class through the veteran committees.
Right. And that's, I mean, is that, and what's funny to me about Ortiz is because Ortiz was a designated hitter for the most part of his career. Yeah. And first baseman, of course. But, you mean, Edgar Martinez is in the Hall as a designated hitter, completely different types of players. But Ortiz was this gregarious fellow. He was this upbeat, this always, you always see David Ortiz with a smile on his face. He was pleasant with the media. Not Clemens wasn't pleasant with the media. Bonds sure as heck wasn't pleasant with the media. And I think it kind of is funny to see guys like Ortiz, because by and large, Barry Bonds' career is far and above what Ortiz did. Now, what Ortiz was able to do in Boston was nothing short of incredible with those teams and what they were able to do. But as far as the championships went and those sorts of things. But it is interesting to kind of put things in perspective as to why we feel certain ways about some players and certain ways about the other.
Yeah, and I think the changing morality, as I put on with the BBWAA, not saying that A-Rod is going to get in, but at some point, someone who either failed a test, is one day going to get into the Hall of Fame, and it's going to make the, well, why isn't Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame argument look even more silly. You know, in retrospect, we'll get into, I mean, there are steroid users in the Hall of Fame. We can't deny it. Like,
right.
there just are. And that's not a bad thing, because there are some really great players that are in the Hall of Fame, and not even great. Oh, if they never took it, they'd be in the Hall of Fame. You know, no, just like great players. Let's throw away every other category with it. Great players. And great players belong in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I don't know. This is looking like a pretty depressing BBWAA ballot this year. And it's not going – I think this is the apex of all the ugliness. This is what it's been leading to. Not saying that we're not going to get some of this, but the A-Rod debate will not be nearly as great as the Barry Bonds debate, because A-Rod is not as polarizing a player, if no other reason.
Exactly. And it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out over the course of the next few years, because there are only going to be more and more players added to this ballot now that have probably been associated more often than not. And I think that's kind of the way that this generation is. I mean, there's always going to be a tie to something illegal, and it'll be interesting to see how it works.
Hey, we are going to take our first break right here. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the podcast to be named later here on the BK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Jared, we've got the Hall of Fame ballots in front of us right now. There are some clear-cut yes or no players in this example, but let's just go through some players who don't have any ties to steroids, who don't have any ties to anything else, just are on that fringe as far or as the Hall of Fame goes. So we're going to go through a couple guys here. So not even going to touch on like the Manny Ramirez's or anything right here. So we're going to find out Hall of Fame or Hall of Very Good. We're going to go in alphabetical order here, starting with the first guy alphabetically on the ballot, Bobby Abreu.
I think he's the Hall of very good. I don't think that he's quite, his career was quite good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, but I do think he was, he obviously he was a definitely a very good player for the multiple teams that he played for, but I just don't think he's got what it takes to make it to the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to throw this out here. He was on base more times than Tony Gwynn. I added a little bit to base running and defense. I don't know. Abreu is right on the line for me. And is this his second or third year on the ballot? I think it's his third. So
I'm not 100% sure as far as Abreu goes.
I think it's his third year. So I'm going to just miss out on a potential 10th year, you know, do or die. Is it up to me if Bobby Abreu goes into the Hall of Fame? That is way too much power to give me. If fringe for me, I would lean towards good, but I could probably be convinced to fame the more I look into it. Mark Burley.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think, you know, longevity wise, I think the overall body of work, I mean, he was good for quite a number of years as in a position where you have to be good to stay in the league. And I think Burley, with what he was able to do, I think, you know, he warrants that. And I think he was a great leader for his team. And I think that matters too. You know, when you look at the Hall of Fame, you look at players and you look at what they were able to do for their teams. And I think Burley's a guy that could get in. Now, I don't know how it stacks up, but I do think that he does have the backing to do it if the voters were to go that way.
See, for me, he's a clear Hall of very good. And I don't mean that he was a very good player. He was the type of guy that every team would have loved to have in their rotation. Someone who's going to go out there and give you 200 innings year in, year out of quality baseball. Absolutely, you would love a guy in that rotation. He just never really had that peak. He had that, if he would have had like a Cy Young year in the middle of that career to tack on to everything that he did, then yeah, I would consider Hall of Fame, but he just never did. So not quite for me. Hall, very good. Todd Helton.
Ah, man, this is a tough, I think this is a tough one. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I love Todd Helton. I loved what he did in Colorado. Obviously, you're going to say that the stats are skewed because he played his home games in Colorado. But man, was he fun to watch. And he held first base down for the Rockies for so long. But I think statistically, even away from home, he was a great player. And I think he would be deserving of the Hall of Fame.
You know, he's a Hall of Famer in my book. And I know 5 All-Star games, that's not a ton, but only 3 Gold Gloves, 4 Silver Sluggers. Like, it's never really that high in MVP considerations. I get that, but just year in, year out, yes, I know Coors played a factor in it, but a one, what was it? I had it right here. A 133 career OPS plus. He's not in for counting stats. He's in for longevity, just being a very good baseball player. And yes, I give a bonus point for someone who spends their whole career with one team. Hall of Famer in my book. Ryan Howard.
It's so tough. I think if he doesn't get hurt towards the end of his career, he's in the Hall of Fame. But I think for me, he's a Hall of very good. I mean, the statistics back it up. But again, his injury history down towards the line or down the line in his career, I think that's what really, really hurt him when it comes to figuring out where he should go.
You see, he's barely Hall of very good in my mind. Like, he had a couple monster years for those Phillies teams. And if he didn't get hurt, maybe those continue. But no, not even, just counting stats. A lot of good RBIs, which of course he's going to get with Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley, you know, batting in front of him. Tim Hudson.
Yeah, that's a tough one. The pitching coach at Auburn now. And I think to me, if I'm going to go with Mark Burley's in the Hall of Fame, I think Tim Hudson's in there too. What Hudson was able to do with the A's, I think was impressive. But I mean, Hudson, he did his job. He went out there every fifth day and he did what he needed to do. And he did it on a lot of teams that, you know, that he needed to, you know, be one of the top guys. And he was able to do that. And to me, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Statistically speaking, I think he's right up there. But, you know, that's a guy he's right on the edge of Hall of Fame, but definitely Hall of very good.
I don't think Tim Hudson was ever the best pitcher on his team. So, I mean, just no, like very good ball player. Very good. I'm happy that he's getting at least some consideration. I think this is a second ballot, but no, no, not a Hall of Famer. Torii Hunter, I'm going to say no, but damn, was he one of the most fun center fielders to watch defensively for a couple years early in his career.
Yeah, I'm the same boat because I think he revolutionized the flashiness of the outfield. He made the outfield look like fun to play with the diving catches and the wall grab. I'll never forget the All-Star game where he robbed Barry Bonds and he picked him up right beyond second base. I think that was a really cool moment. But yeah, I mean, again, defensively, I think he was incredible. The offense, I just don't think it adds up to Hall of Fame factor. But man, you're right. He was a lot of fun to watch.
Another center fielder, a lot of fun to watch defensively, Andrew Jones. And same boat as Bobby Abreu for me, as someone who is absolutely on the fringe. I don't know, though. Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go with probably not, though. He was a big pillar in those 90s Braves teams that were pretty damn good. And, man, it's tough because a guy like him, I think, is deserving of it. I just don't know that he had the longevity of the career to back it up.
Yeah, if he had a 30s, even half as good as his 20s, he's probably in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't. He fell off pretty fast there. I lost my ballot here for a second. This is a very – not a great operation. Jeff Kent.
I think he's all very good. I just was never sold. I mean, he was a very good baseball player. I just don't think he's a Hall of Fame caliber second baseman.
Chase Utley is my line for a Hall of Fame second baseman, and Chase Utley is better than Jeff Kent.
Yes, I agree there.
This guy's not even close for me, but I heard you say it whenever we were getting ready to go through this segment. So give me the Tim Lincecum pro case.
Oh, I think Tim Lincecum is my dude. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He is the Terrell Davis of Major League Baseball pitchers. He was incredibly good for a short amount of time. And that was really it. Like, he was his peak, and there was no creep up, but there was just his peak, and that was it. But to me, I think Tim Lincecum, just because of that, I think he's the Terrell Davis of Hall of Famers. But that's my hot take. I think Tim Lincecum is a Hall of Famer.
Couple Cy Youngs, really good pitcher for a while. Candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long. Not going to touch on Justin Morneau. Joe Nathan.
I think he's very good. Statistically, I think he's okay. I just don't think he's a Hall of Fame caliber. And I just don't think he's going to get enough votes as well.
I'm going to steal this one from Foolish Baseball, who points out that Joe Nathan is one of six relievers with 30 career wins or 30 career win probability added. It would have nine pitchers with at least 900 innings and a 150 career ERA plus or better. Like, we're talking niche stats at that point. I get that.
Yes.
Those are two very legitimate analytics. And honestly, that was the first time I heard anyone gave like a very realistic approach for Joe Nathan. There's another reliever on here that I'm going to be far more adamant about. Once that reliever's in, Joe Nathan might actually be on the ballot whenever I potentially become eligible. I'll think about it then. Right now, Hall, very good. And Papelbon's not even close if Joe Nathan isn't in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree.
He did choke out Bryce Harper, so that was at least one good meme. Jake Peavy, no.
I'm in the same boat there.
Same with Andy Pettit, no.
See, I'm torn on Andy Pettit. I grew up a lot. I grew up watching a lot of Yankees games. I watched Andy Pettit. His postseason, I think – his postseason stats, I think, are really good. That matters. He's a winner. But he's one of those guys that he came out, admitted that he did something wrong. And I think we have a completely different perception of Andy Pettit than we do some of the other guys that just kind of ignored it and just moved past it. And I think that is something, too. I mean, character-wise, I think Andy Pettit is a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, he's one of those guys that when you look at the whole body of work, the postseason wins, the World Series championships. Now, clearly, he was on a very good Yankees run. But again, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but that's also just kind of my bias for watching the Yankees a lot growing up.
I was going to say, only reason he made it a second year is because of Yankee bias. If he would have played his whole career for the Mariners, he would have gotten 1% of the vote, and that would have been it. Przinski, no. Not touching Manny or A-Rod there. Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen is a hard yes for me, and I'm willing to do the full Edgar Martinez. Why isn't Scott Rolen in the Hall of Fame? It shouldn't take him the full 10 years. I'm happy to see him actually pick up some traction this year. I think he and Helton are the two that have picked up the most.
Yes.
New votes going by Ryan Thibodeau's votes, which, of course, not Mr. Tibbs. Go follow him on
Twitter
if this interests you at all. But, yeah, Scott Rolen is a no-doubter in my mind, one of the best third basemen in the history of the game.
Oh, without a doubt. I think he's top-notch. I think he's very deserving of a Hall of Fame spot.
This is someone that's kind of surprising me that we haven't really given – no one has really, really talked about so far, but Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah, he was a big factor for those Phillies teams, man. J. Rawl, everybody knew him. Everybody knew who J. Rawl was. But I think he's right on that fringe line that, like, he could be – I could see either way. I could see an argument either way, but I think he's just very – with on this ballot, I think he's very good.
Yeah, Hall of very good, probably. I would rather his double play partner gets in over J. Rawl, even though really solid career. Hope he sticks around on the ballot at least for a while. If we touched on steroids-ish, like, I guess we should do the same for Gary Sheffield here. No, in my mind, I mean, he does have the 500 homers, but kind of a one-trick pony in that regard. Hall of very good.
Yeah. Listen, his hands are the quickest hands I've ever seen with that free bat, with his little what he did with the bat before his ABs. But yeah, I think he's Hall of very good.
Hall of Fame batting stance, though.
Yes, without a doubt. If there was a batting stance Hall of Fame, he's in there. Craig Council's in there.
Moises Alou.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And Barry Bonds is in there too.
Yeah. So. We touched on Sosa a little bit here. Mark Teixeira is a no. I don't have the heart to get into Omar Vizquel. So we're going to finish off with the last guy on the ballot and the guy who really should be in the Hall of Fame in my book. It shouldn't have taken this long, but if you're going to put Trevor Hoffman in the Hall of Fame, you got to put Billy Wagner in the Hall of Fame too. Greatest left-handed reliever of all time.
Yes. Oh my God. My left arm is twitching just talking about Billy Wagner. I think to me, he's the second best reliever of all time behind Mariano Rivera. I think he's right behind him. I love Billy Wagner, and I mean he should already be in. I think that's without a doubt. But it's just one of those situations, man. He was the closer before it was cool. Him and Mariano Rivera changed the game there. But yeah, he should be in.
We talk about, like, man, could you imagine if Cordell Stewart was playing in the NFL right now? Billy Wagner is that type of guy for me. Like, if he was putting up those strikeout numbers today, like, not even adjusting, like, how there are more swing and miss hitters nowadays, whatever. Like, if he just posted those exact strikeout numbers today, those exact results, people would be freaking out. They're like, oh my God, Billy Wagner's one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. Like, kind of a trailblazer for what, you know, you would want out of a closer or back end reliever at that point. Like, no doubter in my mind. So I think that's it, unless you wanted to. I did skip Carl Crawford and Prince Fielder early on.
No, listen, as good as Prince Fielder was, he would be in the Hall of Fame for back surgery.
I don't know how to respond to that, so we're going to take a break here. We got a little more show to go. See you in a minute. Podcast we name later here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. This is the third segment whenever we don't talk about baseball because there is a lockout still going on. Floated it out to Twitter. Our pal Ethan came in with a good one here for us to talk about. The Office, Parks and Rec, The Good Place, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What are your shows? All of them are created by Michael Schur. That is the list there. I haven't seen enough Good Place or Brooklyn Nine-Nine to officially rank them up, but I'll give the hot take that Parks and Rec is better than The Office.
I agree. Whoa, what? Shoot. We should just restart this entire segment. We agree on something.
Yeah. I mean, oh, The Office is so much better than Parks and Recreation.
No, when I first started becoming a writer, I worked in Parks and Recreation in Altoona. And so I obviously have a soft spot for that, but I thought that was infinitely funnier than The Office ever was. So for me, my ranking would be Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, then The Office. I don't know anything about The Good Place. I've never really seen it. I don't really have time to watch TV shows as much anymore, unless I'm binging different documentaries and stuff like that. But yeah, Parks and Rec, man, it had me laughing. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's the same. The Office just didn't, it wasn't it for me, I guess I should say.
I mean, I love both shows. And even though I love Parks and Recreation, it does, the heights of The Office, whenever it's at its absolute best, is higher than the heights of Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is a far more consistent, after you get rid of season one, you know, experience, like there are very few clunkers in there, but they don't ever have an episode that can rival like Michael grilling his foot. Like that's
right.
That's just, whenever The Office was on its A game, it was untouched.
And then when it wasn't, it was bad.
It got bad fast. Like I've never watched the last two seasons all the way through. I just can't do it. So then again, I don't really want to watch season one of the Parks and Recs ever again. So you take what you get. Thank you so much.
What's your favorite? Wait. Before we go.
Okay.
What's your favorite show to watch now, whenever you have time?
Whenever I have Futurama is forever my comfort zone show. Just plop it in any episode. I can recite half the lines. You?
The last show that I watched straight through was Manifest. I love Manifest. I thought it was a really good TV show on Netflix. But the one I always go to is South Park.
Yeah, that's up there for me too.
I'm a big fan of stupid comedy.
Yes. We are revealing way too much about... We swear we are... you know, trustworthy journalists who don't just watch South Park on Wednesday nights to pass out. And with that, we say thank you for listening to the podcast to be named later here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to get this show, the We Are podcast that Jared also hosts, and every other show that we have here. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk again next week. All right, man, I'll send this your way.
Good deal, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Kick ass. Win.
I hope so. I'll catch you later.
See ya.